We found that 50% of the regional haul truck market, about 468,000 tractors, are a good case for electric trucks today, where they return to base and they travel generally under about 200 miles.
Okay, look, we talk a lot about the future of trucking on this channel, from changing DOT regulations to AI driver-facing camera technologies, understanding commercial insurance and captives. We have an upcoming podcast episode on the latest in ELD and vehicle tech. Be sure to check that out. And we often make fun of the EV transition, especially when it comes to trucking.
Hey, Elon, what about charging these huge battery packs?
But on this last topic, there has been a lot of recent updates, reviews, and data on electric semis. For example, Jay Leno checked out and drove the Tesla Semi, calling it groundbreaking and garnering over 1.2 million views. So it's time for us to take a serious look as we react to the latest electric semi updates. Now, a couple important things to remember as we do this video. First things first, we are specifically going to be talking about short haul or regional day cab type vehicles. This isn't long haul. There's not sleeper berths inside these things. There's nothing for to worry about for this long range coast to coast type of discussion. We're going to talk specifically about this regional, maybe warehouse to delivery, back to warehouse, and talking about 200 miles, 500 miles, maybe 1,000 mile kind of a range, which obviously is the majority of trucking loads today. So with that in mind, the other side of it is, why is this important? Why is there so much news and people freaking out, whether it's pro for it or completely against it? Obviously, it has to do with the cost of ownership or the cost per mile in trucking. Obviously, the biggest things in trucking that costs a lot of money, it's going to be the fuel. If fuel goes away and it's the electricity charging is more affordable, huge money gathering right there. The other piece of it is torque on the vehicle and the tires. If the tires can last longer with an electric vehicle, it remains to be seen. Then the tire costs of replacing them, and if they can go further, much better. Maintenance as well. If maintenance, you have four motors versus the engine that can break and other things that can break and the whole piece of a diesel truck, and you only have a whole lot less pieces to worry about with an electric semi, then maybe the maintenance costs dramatically drop as well. If a truck can go, an electric semi specifically, or zero emission vehicle can go for, let's say, 1 million miles, maybe in like a 7-year range, if they can do that and the costs make sense, the cost of ownership makes sense, then why not replace? That's gonna be the question. Why not replace? Should we replace? And how quickly do we expect to replace? All right, the first thing I want to talk about. So for the last couple of years, the North American Council for Freight Efficiency, NACFE, and RMI launched the Run on Less Electric Depot. Basically, it's whether you want to call it a competition, it's really gathering real life data of zero emission vehicles, whether it's like the eCascadia with Daimler, or if it's the Tesla Semi this year, 2023, the Nikola, I believe it's the Nikola Tri. But there's a lot of other vehicles, whether it's the Class 8 range that we're going to specifically look at today, or some of the smaller vehicles as well. But specifically with the Class 8s, we're looking at real life data, the real life loads. What's the data being gathered? How far are they going? What's their range? How quickly can it charge the battery and be back on the road again? And really just looking at like the temperature and sort of the real life data, is this a ideal situation? Eventually, of course, it's gonna be in the ice and the rain and the snow. How does it perform in those as well? But this specifically, they do it during the summer. In 2023, they just finished up their data, which we were going to look at, but we're going to look at last year's sort of report and sort of what's going on and what's the sort of real case scenario that they see as of last year's Run on Less event.
Of all the segments that we talk about converting to battery electric vehicles, the Class 8 heavy-duty tractor is probably the most challenging. Now, what makes it so challenging is that there's just so many different uses for Class 8 trucks, so many different applications, so many different types of trucks. Now, we found that regional haul is a really good fit for BEVs.
We found that 50% of the regional haul truck market, about 468,000 tractors, are a good case for electric trucks today, where they return to base and they travel generally under about 200 miles.
All right, let's talk about some of these numbers real quick. So he just said the sort of short haul regional, whether it's, again, sort of for the beverage and food warehousing distribution, that type of thing, dry edge and others, you're looking at potentially being able to replace over nearly 500,000 trucks on the road to be zero emission, EV something. And while that sounds like a lot and it makes sense, you got to remember that a lot of these trucks, maybe it's Pepsi and Frito-Lay, they just received the latest Tesla semis. They have hundreds, if not thousands, in their fleet of vehicles. The reality of being able to replace every single vehicle for Pepsi, Frito-Lay to be battery electric, you would need the production of electricity on site to be absolutely massive in order to charge the vehicles on site. Or you're going to need to have, a lot of the infrastructure along the road to be able to charge as you go on your routes moving forward. But the reality is warehouse or distribution locations, that's where you're going to be charging, whether it's overnight and sort of figuring that piece out. Now, the other side of it you mentioned is sort of this 200-mile range. Yeah, a lot of these vehicles, the eCascadia, maybe a 200, maybe 250-mile range. Some vehicles can go a little bit further. Then the question comes down to, how are you using it? Can you get, if it goes 250-mile range before you need to charge it again, okay, can you do that, charge it, and then do another load later in the day and maybe get a total drive time of 8-9 hours of drive time? Or 11-hour max is what we're looking for, right? And so, maybe these vehicles can get two loads in, maybe they can go 500-mile type of range for these smaller routes. That potentially is feasible. We're going to look at some data looking in the future, but there's potentially other vehicles out there, zero emission battery electric vehicles, that can do a lot better range, and we're going to check that out.
In talking to fleets, we found that the biggest concerns seem to be around the maximum freight you could carry and the maximum range you could go. Now, both those factors are related, but we found that there's a significant segment of regional haul vehicles that cube out, and so they're not carrying the max weight. And then for those vehicles that are operating max weight, there's a significant group that operate in very short ranges.
All right, something important that he touched on there is specifically the capacity that the truck, how much is it actually hauling? Is specifically for product, how much product is it hauling? Yeah, sure. So battery electric vehicles, they get 80,000 for diesel trucks is the max weight of a diesel truck, the gross vehicle rating. And for electric semis, they add an extra sort of 2,000 pound bonus, so it's 82,000 max weight. Now, while that's great, the batteries are huge and weigh a lot. Now, the numbers aren't usually out for a lot of these companies of what the actual weight of their total semi is before a load, and so a lot of it is sort of guesswork, but that 2,000 extra bonus is sort of almost irrelevant. It's gonna be a whole lot more than that for the batteries themselves. So the question is capacity. How much are you actually filling in your trailer? Now, this is a great, if you haul a full load all the time, completely understandable that the ownership and the rate per mile, if you get a full load constantly in an ideal world, you would be losing that capacity, a certain percentage versus a diesel truck based on the weight of those batteries and the vehicles themselves. The question is, how many of you are actually hauling a full trailer load of product? And I wanted to switch real quick to some statistics. So this is a report in November of 2021 where they sort of dove into this. And I just wanted to look right here. you know, really those that are not empty have an average load factor of 57%. In other words, they are carrying just 57% of the capacity. So you can see here, while 20% of the trucks miles on the road are empty, on average, the remaining, you know, you got 57% is loaded in a vehicle. So for those of that are complaining constantly in the comments saying, well, it matters about how much you're actually losing and how much is actually being hauled for a product. Reality is the majority of you out there are not hauling a full load, that there's room for more weight, room for more product. And that's going to be the same thing here. If we can load up that vehicle more with a battery electric vehicle and we lose that little bit of gain from going from diesel truck to the heavier battery electric, then it's relatively comparable if we can show that load working moving forward.
Your trucking company needs to answer these four questions to be successful. How do you start your trucking company? How do you secure loads to make money? How do you grow your trucking company? And how do you stay in business? The last one, staying in business, is the most important and unfortunately the most difficult. But don't worry about it, we'll give you the answers for free. All you need to do is subscribe to the CNS YouTube channel right now. Don't be fooled into thinking that running your trucking company is as easy as jumping into a truck and driving. We know the trucking industry inside and out, and trust us, it's not that easy. We constantly see trucking companies going through audits, getting fines, dealing with high insurance rates, and closing their doors, and we don't want that to be you. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, how do they know all this? What makes them an expert? Well, we own and operate multiple companies focusing on every aspect of the trucking industry, from CDL training to DOT compliance to DOT licensing to commercial truck insurance and even healthcare. Ask any of our clients or other subscribers about CNS. You will only hear great things.
We're going to move on to 2023 results and looking at sort of Tesla Semi as well. So the Tesla Semi is in basically a short production line right now. It's basically a test line. They're doing about five a week, and it's really a test and see how it's doing. They're going to Frito-Lay, Pepsi Frito-Lay, and they're testing those vehicles out, which we will look at. But then specifically, once they're done figuring that out and they're ready to ramp up the manufacturing location, you know, showing those updates, revealing those updates into the new Semi in mass production and seeing what those specific stats are. We just don't have those yet. But let's look at where Tesla Semi is at and moving forward, what some of the results of the 2023 Run on Less event.
In a past conference call, Elon Musk mentioned aiming for 50,000 Tesla Semis being produced per year in 2024. However, for this to become a
quick note on that, Elon saying they eventually want to get to 50,000 annual production of the electric Semi, a Tesla Semi specifically. On an annual basis, we see about 150,000, maybe 200,000 Class 8 trucks. This is, again, long haul, short haul, day cabs. But you're seeing about 150 to maybe 200,000 total trucks. So Tesla is on an annual basis. So Tesla is looking to eventually get a quarter of that production to be their own Tesla Semi and being battery electric and maybe being just their, 250, 500 mile range, or maybe they'll have a long range product as well in the future. But that is massive production. Obviously, maybe a year or two down the road, let's sort of see what, where is Tesla at looking at this Tesla Semi production.
According to this article, low volume production of the Semi began in Q3 of 2022. And when it comes to how many Semis Tesla has built from startup production until now, the author of this article did include a quote from that Jay Leno video from Dan Priestley. When it comes to Tesla Semi production, Dan said, quote, "We've made a few dozens of it. We're up in the maybe 60 to 70 range, but we're cranking out just our pilot volume," Priestley told Leno. "We're collecting data, we're getting a lot of really great driver feedback, and then we're going to take that time to do a bunch of improvements and bring that into a high volume and really try to be a major player in the market."
And now again, these are being tested on the roads with Tesla delivering their own vehicles with the Tesla Semi, and Pepsi Frito-Lay delivering from Nevada to California with their sort of regional load going back and forth. We're going to talk about some of the statistics on this 2023 data with Pepsi Frito-Lay, and we're going to look at the other electric semis as well, eCascadia and what the others are doing, and Nikola, and sort of comparing just sort of who's better for the electric semis, but then also comparing it to diesel trucks. Is it feasible to moving forward?
The North American Council for Freight Efficiency, or NACFE, recently hosted their 2023 Run on Less event, and data from three of PepsiCo's Tesla Semi trucks during this real-world use was shared online. On day 17 of the event, a Tesla Semi truck from PepsiCo's fleet was able to travel 1,076 miles in a single day.
All right, so that is actually pretty crazy. So this Run on Less event where they're testing out the electric semis, again, all different types. We can look through here. It's an 18 days event that just finished up, and we look at the data. So let's look at this chart right here. It basically shows the truck was at 100% at the beginning of this day. So this is what, like midnight. And it drove for almost 6 hours here, going almost all the way down to the 20% or under 20%, like 10% battery charge. And then it charged for a little bit, back up to 50%, and then back down almost all the way. And then it fully charged. Yeah, so it was 11 o'clock. So 11 o'clock in the morning to 12, let's just say 1 o'clock. So 2 hours for it to charge from basically 10% all the way back up to almost 100%. You're looking at 87, 88%. So charging almost 70% of the way in 2 hours, pretty decent. Obviously, you know, you can fuel a truck, a diesel truck, a whole lot faster, 15 minutes or so to fully fuel up your vehicle. And you can probably go this sort of 250, 500 mile range with a fully fueled diesel truck. It just depends. But again, in the day, it did another load here going and then a little mini charge and then kept going. So this vehicle, maybe a driver changed out. So, obviously the hours of service rules still apply. So 11 hours max drive time. And then the driver would need to switch out with a different driver. So probably going from a location to a warehouse and back, change out a driver, charge it up, and then keep going. Sort of what we're looking at here. And in a full day, doing over 1,000 miles. Now, on average, it was doing, the semi was doing probably closer, whether it's 500, 800, 700, 800 mile range. There, 545 miles, did one long delivery. Again, you can see the downtime here at the end of the day, sort of the end of the shift. There you go. Yeah. So another 730 miles doing three deliveries. You got a couple hours here where the truck was had some downtime, but you can sort of see these loads and charging throughout the day. So that's pretty impressive for the Tesla Semi being able to do that amount of range and being on the road most of the time. Now let's compare this apples to apples with some of the other companies that are out there. So let's say OK Produce. Let's look at the eCascadia again. This is Daimler. They've been producing semis in general for a very long time. Obviously, they're the name of the game, Daimler and Freightliner. And so their eCascadia is sort of their day cab, shorter range, 250 mile electric. Sort of answer to this EV transition. So the eCascadia did 244 miles, three deliveries. But what we can see here, it looks like it was charging. Actually, let's go to the day before. Day two, it was charging in the night. So it did 250 miles, basically 245 miles, did some deliveries on its route, had some downtime here. Obviously, looking at sort of the location that might have done a delivery, get loaded back up, went out some more, got all the way down to about 11% charge, and then sort of sat for the rest of the day. Ideally, again, this vehicle would be whether the driver is switched out and you could see it, you would want to see it being charged real quick, get back out on the road and keep going. So obviously half this day here, it was just sitting, not even charging, just sitting. So one thing to remember here is while it did 245 miles that day, it could feasibly do 500 miles. Maybe this route of three or four deliveries, doing it twice. But you can see here, it was almost all the way down in charge. And then let's see how long it took to charge overnight all the way back up. So it was, 9 o'clock, 9:30 the night before. And let's go to day three. This is what we were showing earlier. And you can see it here, it's at 60%. So again, 9, so 10, 11, 12, 1:30. You're looking at about 4 hours of charge time to get fully, the battery charged all the way back up. Now again, Tesla Semi had 70, 80% charge in maybe half that time, 2 hours. And so eCascadia, twice as long to get it fully charged back up all the way. And then again, it's doing its delivery. And then they had a long downtime here before it charged back up again. So again, we would want to see this vehicle, doing more routes more frequently. Downtime doesn't make you any money. So it could feasibly be doing 500 miles a day, depending if the vehicle's in good health as we watch this moving forward. This is an article that covers sort of the end of this 18-day event and some of the data that we want to look at on sort of this real-life electric vehicle event. So there were 22 trucks there. The three Tesla Semis averaged 511 miles per day per truck. There was, again, those three trucks. You're looking at some of those days going 700, going to up to 1,000 miles in a day. The three trucks, the semis, delivered 27, almost 28,000 miles with over 85% loads. So almost fully loaded vehicle and in those 18 days. And it had an average of about 1,500 miles combined mileage days, which is quite impressive. Those vehicle is constantly being moved, which is great to see. The Tesla Semi had triple the daily mileage than the average eCascadia Semi, the Volvo, and the Nikola. But this is, of course, those were sitting for many hours before they were even charged. So it had nothing to do with, like, the charging capability. Those vehicles potentially could have done at least a whole lot more in a day. But again, on average, 511 miles, maybe some of these vehicles could get close to that 500 mile range, but we know that some of these mileage for the Tesla Semi could be maybe averaging 800 or 1,000 miles if it was fully being utilized during those times. So that's pretty interesting to see in that comparison. Almost half, if not maybe let's say 60, 70% of the quality of the battery electric vehicles, the Nikola and eCascadia, compared to what the Tesla Semi can do currently in this real world data. All right, so scrolling down, we can sort of see these are the three Tesla Semi trucks, truck 1, 2, and 3. You can see the daily averages here, or the daily each day, what they were doing. Obviously, some days, some of these trucks weren't running. Truck 3, this is the one that was able to do that 1,000 mile day of deliveries. That truck specifically went 10,000 miles in the 2.5 weeks that it was being tested. And down here further in this article, you can see here, let me zoom in real quick on this. This is pretty impressive, sort of comparing what is the comparing these vehicles on the stats that's potentially provided. So obviously we know the Tesla Semi, the 500 mile range versus the 300 mile range versions of the day cab trucks. You can sort of see their battery, basically the fuel tank, what's the how much it can hold, 900 kilowatt hours in battery storage on the vehicle. The Tesla Semis were able to do about 500 mile range. You can see on average the price potentially is around that $200,000-$250,000 for the truck, and you can sort of see these sort of charging and the power here and the charging time. You're looking at, like, again, 30 minutes to an hour for at least 50 to 80% of that getting that range back up. Now again, this depends on the V3 charging that was currently being used to at the Tesla Semi event. They talked about V4 being able to do a megawatt of charging and being able to do it very, very quickly. So some of these numbers is still waiting on that infrastructure to be rolled out, and not only going to be at locations, but of course across the country as well, whether it's at truck stops and other locations. Now, this is compared to the Freight eCascadia. it's going, you know, on average, it could do about a 300 mile range, 290 mile range. Oh, that's weight. Oh, that's potential weight. Okay. Or no, that was battery. Yeah, so this is looking, comparing to the Freightliner's eCascadia. So 290 kilowatt hours compared almost half, if not three times less than that, the main Tesla Semi with the 500 mile range. And you're looking at, you know, 150 miles, maybe a little bit more. It could do more. We saw it doing more, and then it just needed to be charged throughout the day. If you keep it moving, it can do it. The eCascadia, you're looking at some of the, you know, the different models, 300,000, 500,000. So it's more expensive than what is estimated for the Semi. Again, it could still be more, it could be at that same level. But again, that's higher than, you know, an average diesel truck equivalent day cab that we would tend to see on the roads. But the other issue here for eCascadia, what we were seeing in that real life data, it did take about 4 hours to fully charge that vehicle with the current infrastructure that they are utilizing. If we can get that down in the future, then, you know, the case scenario of it making sense for a lot of fleets improves. And then, of course, if we look at the Nikola Tre, that has really good battery pack, 753, sort of in that range of that Tesla Semi, and it, you know, potentially could do that 350, maybe 400 mile range in one go. Again, if you can utilize it constantly, it's pretty equivalent to that Tesla Semi that we were looking at. And again, charging maybe about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours to get that sort of fully charged. And again, it just depends on the infrastructure that's going to be in place moving forward. All right, so obviously the last thing that we want to touch on is sort of what's this long-term, you know, what does it need to be in place? Where we sort of see this, the vehicles are there, the infrastructure, you know, some of these locations, you know, Pepsi's had to get the you know, whether it's a solar and the charging infrastructure there in place with help of Tesla, of course, in order to have on-site charging. Some of these other locations getting on-site charging at their warehousing or manufacturing sites. Now, when we look at sort of this long-term view of EV transition for trucking, again, this is the day cab. Remember this idea of like 500,000 trucks that could potentially be transitioned to a zero emission version in the next couple of years if they could produce that many. That potential is there. So specifically, some key points that they're pulling out from this Run for Less event press release was that there's big improvements in trucks and chargers in comparison to the 2021 event that we looked at earlier. The industry needs cost and weight reductions, obviously, to improve the total cost of ownership. We can see that across the industry. Of course, Tesla Semi was the one that was being able to produce the best, you know, cost of ownership example. Again, not knowing the cost of the vehicle yet and not knowing, you know, what the infrastructure costs would potentially be on site. But with all of this in place, it's still taking too long for power delivery and infrastructure to be installed. So obviously that fear is still there, still rampant. So scrolling down, the other most important takeaway here is that it takes from about 12 months to 36 months. So that's 1 year to 3 years for infrastructure implementation. The fear is, obviously, if we're going to get electric vehicles at a lot of these warehouse locations, then we need infrastructure at these warehouse locations. In order for infrastructure to be at these warehouse locations, they need a lot of energy, electricity to be able to produce and come on site. Unfortunately, the infrastructure isn't in place for many of these places currently. So there has to be this sort of build out for electric production or electric availability at these warehouses so that when they do implement 1, 2, 5, 10 chargers, that those sites can handle it. Now, again, that's maybe only transitioning 10% of their fleet to be EV. If you want every single vehicle doing these sort of short haul regional drives, then you got to get a whole lot more charger infrastructure in place, which means you're going to need a whole lot of electricity. There's a lot of regulations in place that sort of, you know, sort of red flags and red tape before that can actually happen. And it's gonna take years for that to actually happen. So what we're gonna see in the short term, let's say the next 5 years, we're gonna see production ramp up eventually over time, whether it's eCascadia, Nikola, the Tesla Semi. So a lot of these vehicles are gonna need that charging infrastructure. And so we're gonna see maybe the warehouses getting 10% of their vehicles transition to EV. You got you got companies like Walmart and obviously Pepsi Frito-Lay, and you got so many other these big companies that have lots of fleets that will have the capability and the money to be able to make this transition happen. You're going to see that happen first in these first few years. And then eventually, a lot of people that are on the wait list for these vehicles, it's going to be sort of that long-term game where, again, if you have sort of a regional delivery, warehouse to warehouse type of thing, or warehouse to delivery back home, if you got that in place, you can see maybe you can build infrastructure at your own site. I believe some of the cost numbers that have been floated around at previous events was that it's like for Tesla specifically, that their charging infrastructure would be like 150,000, maybe 200,000 to be placed on site. Some saying as low as 50,000. We're not 100% sure here, but again, you have to have that cost of being able to implement at least one charging, if not multiple charging, at your location. Then getting the vehicle, transition from the vehicle, and then, of course, utilizing that vehicle. If those make sense for your business, you're going to see a lot more of these electric vehicles out on the road, and you're going to see a lot of cost savings. Now, the other piece of cost savings that we don't usually talk about is going to, of course, come from the safety side, which when you think about safety, you think about insurance. Insurance is one of the most expensive costs when it comes to the cost of trucking. And if, you know, the electric vehicles prove to be safer and prove to be more efficient, you're going to get a whole lot more of that, better premium rates, maybe, if you have an electric semi. Some point, there's going to be a transition where this happens. And when that happens, you're going to see a lot quicker an ease of wanting to save on premium, save on maintenance, save on vehicle fuel costs, and so much more. So that the sort of domino effect is barely starting to happen, and you're going to see it domino over time. How far will it go? Will the technology be able to get to long haul? Probably not. And if it can, it's going to take a while, 2030, 2040 maybe. But the other obviously discussion is going to be, is hydrogen involved in this transition? Battery electric vehicle with hydrogen. Nikola wants that as the long-term goal. It makes more sense for long hauls. And if that becomes a thing, there's a lot more infrastructure that's going to have to be in place other than just electricity. It's going to have to be the hydrogen infrastructure being put in place as well. So a lot of long-term game being played here for this. The other piece that we sort of have to worry about, and this is discussion, of course, is a lot of these companies that are doing automation. So, no driver in the cab of the vehicle. This cost scenario makes sense, obviously, with an electric vehicle, cost savings with the vehicle. And then, of course, the cost of the trucker being taken out of the vehicle. Now, again, this is that long-term game, but they're sort of going to run into, if the efficiency of automated trucks, semi-trucks specifically, Kodiak and a couple others that are out there that are looking into this, if that comes down to the road, you're looking at the EV transition and the hydrogen transition bumping up against the automated transition for long haul. And so there's going to be this weird little 10, 20, 30 year time frame that we're going to see this massive transition, and is going to be a lot of changes happening. But no matter what, trucks, drivers, and efficiency is the name of the game. And of course, getting home safely. So with that, that was a whole long deep dive on sort of this takeaway here. A lot to come. We can touch more on this moving forward. Obviously, we need to get these vehicles to be more mass produced, getting them into hands, getting them to more real data, seeing how they test in winter weather, in rainy weather, and seeing them on the road, getting drivers to like it. I know the Tesla Semi are sitting in the middle of the vehicle versus on the left hand or the right hand side, obviously for European drivers. And so there's going to be this sort of regulatory shift as well, sort of figuring out what's the right truck for their the right regions, right locations. A lot of fight coming along the way, and it'll be interesting to watch. And we'll take, every once in a while, have some news pieces coming out talking about this. But this is a quick update. And of course, we have all this information that we covered here, some of the links that we're looking at, down, they're going to be linked down in the bio below. And if you have any questions on what we do here on the DOT compliance side, the audit safety side, if you're looking at wanting to become a truck driver, if it's an interesting world with the EV transition and getting into that, and that excites you, we have a CDL program, CDL school here on site here in Pennsylvania, which is just as affordable to fly out to our location and quickly getting educated, getting your license, and getting back out, getting out on the road. So, and of course, we have a commercial insurance arm as well. All this information is going to be linked down in the bio below if you have any questions. And of course, as always, stay safe out there.